It's always good to see family come out and support. Amen. And but not everybody that graduates has family that come out. I know Carla's very proud of Angie, and I know the staff is as well, and the team, and just watching her, and I'm like, okay, when's she gonna mess up? When's she gonna mess up? Because most of the girls mess up sometime down the road, but Carla just kept telling me she stayed focused, and you did it. So good for you. Good for you. Good. This morning I want to share with you, it's good to see all of your faces here today, and knowing we're a church that has a lot going on in it, and we're right here in the middle of Huntington, right here in the heart of Huntington. Some of you know that there was a time way back when, in the first couple years, that we were buying 8 acres out on the highway, and we actually purchased 8 acres, but God kept us here in this community, in the heart of the city. And to do what we do, lo and behold, this is where we needed to be, right here in the city, which comes with a great responsibility, being a lighthouse in the community. And for the things that we do, I believe we are a lighthouse in the community. But also know, there's a lot in this community that we've not reached. Key word today is a word that Angie uses. She said, I came in broken. This city, I want to tell you that this city is broken. Don't let anybody fool you. This city is broken. And if a city is broken, it's because it's filled with broken people. It's filled with broken people. We are living in a time where it feels, and I truly believe, in my opinion, that we have more in common with the first century church than the century church just before us. Trying to take God out of everything, and trying to take God out of people, trying to shut churches down, all those kind of things. There's a brokenness in this city. I want you to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want you to turn over to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to look a little bit in this chapter. We're going to see that God's people, and that God allowed his people to be put into captivity because they just fell away from God, and God's going to restore some things. See, sometimes some of us can't really find, we really can't look up to God. We can't really reach out to God. We just don't even want to look at God until we become broken. And brokenness is different for every one of us. Sometimes we wonder, and sometimes we think, if that person could just be broken, they would come to God. If that person would just be broken, they would quit doing and living in addiction. If that person could be, just all kinds of pain and suffering on this person, they would turn around. That's not always so. And some people like the pain. Some people like to live in suffering. Some people like to live there. As we go through this, as we go through some of these scriptures this morning, I want you to keep thinking, and I'm going to be bringing it up, I want you to keep thinking about this community. I want to tell you that in this community, I talk to many pastors. I'm not just saying it, I do. I talk to pastors throughout Indiana, and I talk to pastors throughout the country. Almost every pastor I've talked to said, their church is not where it was a year ago or before COVID. Their numbers are down. A lot of pastors are discouraged and don't know what to do. Some pastors don't know how to handle what has gone on. They estimate that 20% of pastors will quit once this COVID thing, if it gets over with, they're going to quit. They can't handle it. It's been too hard. It's been too rough on them. I just believe each man needs to make his decision with God. Let that be between him and God. But I see they're also saying that many churches are probably going to close. But here it is. It's because people are broken spiritually. The desire to even attend church is not there for many, many people. But yet they want to claim Christianity. They want to claim that they have a relationship with God. Nehemiah, in this time, that God's people were in captivity. Some people were coming back who Nehemiah knew. He wanted to ask what was going on in Jerusalem. He says here in Nehemiah chapter 1, Hananiah in verse 2, one of my brothers came from Judah and with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Here we find that there's not much left in Jerusalem. There is a remnant, but they are all broken. They're all disgraced. There are walls, but they are broken down. The gates, everybody would used to be gathered out there of importance and seeing who's coming into town, who's leaving the city. That is all burnt down. Everything is in rubble. Let me just tell you can have a beautiful city on the outside, but let me tell you can be broken from the inside. The rubble can be all over the place. It's not all about how magnificent the buildings look. It's what is going on spiritually in the community. And I'm telling you, there's not a lot of spiritualness in this community that is of God. There are some good pastors here. There's some good churches here. But even those good ones are struggling right now. There's a couple that are doing decent, but the majority is struggling. They're struggling. We are the only ones I know. Now, I'm sure there's others, but we are the only ones I know that actually went from an average before COVID and is higher than our average before and during COVID. We were an average of 64 last year. Now we're an average of 69. There are churches right now that are down 30 people, 40 people. There are some even more than that. I talked to a pastor the other day, and they were running 60. They're down to about 35. We have a problem in this country. We have a problem in this city. And don't let the world fool you. Nehemiah heard this. He asked the question. He asked the right questions. He asked the question that come from his heart. How's my people? How's my city? And they gave an answer. They gave an answer. The people are in great distress. They're disgraced people. They feel disgraced about what happened. There's a loss of hope. The people are broken. That is what's around this community. There is good people. There are people that are doing what they need to be doing. There's people that God is blessing. But I'm telling you, the majority in this community is broken. They're broken. Even in this inner city part of Huntington, it is broken. I can come in every Sunday and see there's no car movement. The cars are all, everybody's cars are in front of their houses. They're either laid up from last night's partying, or they just lay up. They just do whatever they got to do. They're coming down. They're going up, or whatever it is that they're doing. They're broken. They're broken. That's what sin does. That's exactly what sin does. And this city is full of broken people. And we need to know, we need to see that. Verse 4, it says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. That's what he did. He asked the questions. How's it going back home? He got the answers. And Nehemiah now becomes broken in his own heart. He is broken in his own heart. He is broken for the people. He's broken for the city. He is pretty much broken for the broken. And until we get there, God has given us the task to be broken for the brokenness. He has given us this task here to be broken. We need to be broken for this community. We need to be broken. We need to be broken for this community. There is a hospital right in the middle of this community. It is this place. There is a spiritual hospital in the community right here in the inner city. It is this church. And this church's doors are open. Yet, many will not come to hear the hope that you can have in Jesus Christ. To get the healing that you need through Jesus Christ. To get the courage, the encouragement and the courage to step out and do it in Christ. Become spiritually sick, now to become spiritually healthy. This place has been placed here. It is, this community is without excuse now. So what does that mean? That means we need to have a brokenness for them. We need to begin to do some things. And we can say that we are doing a lot of things, and we are with all of our homes and the one we're getting ready to open in our meal, all the, where we, you know, the soup kitchen, the meal ministry, and all those things that we do. But I'm telling you, we got to get to the one place where Nehemiah was that we aren't, and that needs to be this place here. We need to begin to pray for the broken people. We need to begin to pray for them. We need to begin to fast for them at times. We need to ask God to give us a broken heart for those that are broken. We need to do that. That we may understand and know that once many of us were broken, and we need to remember, be reminded when we were broken, who brought us through that? It was Christ. If you need to be reminded, it was Christ. And Christ is going to use Christians. He's going to use his children to help other people. It was Christ who's going to use his churches to bring people into the fold that they may learn to worship together and to pray together and share their burdens with one another. There is a brokenness here, and I'm telling you, there's no political official that's going to fix it. God is going to use his people to help people. And we are placed here for a purpose. To help those moms who are broken, who are separated from their children. God's going to use us to help those men who can't, that need help in helping themselves. God's going to use us to help men and women to be able to help themselves and to learn who what the gospel is and who Jesus Christ is. But it can't just come from the houses that we have. It's got to come from our hearts. It's got to come from our spirit. It's got to come from this building altogether. It's got to be bigger than what we think. Listen, God wants to do more. But the next step is the stuff you don't see. It don't come with keys. It don't come with a door. It doesn't come with a roof. It's in here. It's in here. One of my favorite songs that we sang it this morning. I didn't know we were going to sing it. It's God of the City. And my heart was broken because God is not the God of the city. But I love the other part. I said, man, there's some hope. He is the hope for the city. And started to turn and started giving encouragement. But he's not the God of this city. He's the God of this church. He's the God in my life. I hope he's the God in your life. But he's not the God of this city. For the city doesn't chase after God. The city doesn't run after God. This city is a magnet for brokenness. This city is a magnet just for brokenness. I don't know if y'all see that, but it's brokenness. And Nehemiah sees that there are some things back home that aren't right, and he hears it, and his heart is broken. And what does he do? The scripture says he goes to a place he just broke down and for days, and then he begins to pray, and he begins to fast, but he's not doing something for himself. And that's when your heart begins to change, when you start change, when your prayers and your fasting is not for you and all the time. It's for others. It's for the purposes of God, to help others. I want to remind you today, God loves people. He loves the cities. He loves the people. People is God's business. But he says this, Lord, this is how he prays, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. He's praying before you day and night for the servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father and my family's, and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you have given your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, to the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. I know that some of your versions says, Lord, there's two places in here it says, Lord. I read here, Lord, let your ear be attentive. But King James Version, I believe, says, Lord, please, let your ear be attentive. Please, Lord. There's a heart. There's a brokenness in Nehemiah's heart. There's an urgency. He says, please, Lord, please. He's begging the Lord to answer. There's a brokenness in his heart. But what does he do? Nehemiah, in his prayer, he acknowledges who God is. He acknowledges who God is and that God is above everything and anything and everyone. And in his prayer, then he moves into where he confesses the sins of the people. That's a growth piece if you do that. It's a spiritual growth piece. If you pray for the community and you say, Lord, forgive us in our community. Forgive the community. Forgive the people of their sins. People say, well, that don't work. Let me tell you something. When you talk to the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord listens. He confesses the sin of the people. He confesses the sin of his own family. And his own self. In my prayer life, I pray that the Lord will forgive me of my sins and I have that relationship with God. I do that just like you do, but I also pray for my family. The Lord will forgive us for our family because I believe the man is the spiritual leader of the home. He's the spiritual godfather of the home. And he needs to take care of spiritual business. Come on now, amen. We need to take part. We need to be about that. We need to do that. We need to pray for others. We need to pray. We need to pray for others, not just ourselves. Some people would say, well, that's just Old Testament. God loves broken people. There were some prophetic pieces that was written about Jesus in Isaiah. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes out and he brings it out. It's one of my favorite parts of the New Testament. He says, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't think you understand. You see, today somebody's picking up the needle about, I don't know about how many, I'd probably say in this community there might be a dozen or so, maybe 20 people picking up a needle this morning. And you picked up a Bible and came to church. There's people can't wait till they bought enough liquor to get them over to the next till Monday. You understand there's somebody beating their wife today? They're beating their kids today? I'm just telling you, that's life. That's the meanness and ugliness of life. Every day I get on my phone and I look on the sheriff app, and I want to see who was arrested, because I'm beginning to know. Me and Carla look all the time because we want to make sure that none of our residents are there, some of the people that we minister to. And she, the other day I didn't catch it, she said, "Oh my goodness, look who's in." I'm like, "Oh, who's that? Oh yeah, oh," because she remembers all the leads better than I do. And there was a prior one that went in. I don't just stop and look at that and laugh about it. I don't just stop and just do my next thing. My heart breaks for that. She can't get it together. She keeps going in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. She can't get it together. This woman is broken. If you walk up in my office, you'll see a board there. There's probably 30 names or so, and I got to add some. I got to take some off, but that names are always changing to people that are in prison. It's always in view at my desk, always in view. Because I always say, what do I need to pray for? What can I pray for today? And I'm always looking over there, praying for those people who are in prison, who are in jail. Every one of them are there, are broken. You understand that? Every one of them are broken. We have a police force all across our country and in this community. They're looked down upon. They're spit upon. People flip them off. People throw things at their cars. You think they go home happy? Just because they wear a badge and they carry a gun and they drive a public car home that they got it made? They're broken too. They go home and they're broken too. They're going home and wife doesn't understand it, and they bicker about things, and there's a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on her. Is he coming home today? Politicians don't know. The good ones don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Moms are waiting for their kids to come home, and they tell them something new that they learned. It was unheard of to be teaching things that they're teaching now. It'd be unheard of years ago. This world is broken from poverty to middle class to the rich, broken all over the place. Just broken. But there is hope. And that hope only comes in Jesus Christ. Then God has a lot of children out there. There's a remnant. God has a lot of children out here that he wants them to shine the light of hope, which is Jesus Christ, into their life. And some will fade back and some will run away. But we need to remember that God is working, that some will come to him. That's what makes it worthwhile, when we see one that comes to Christ. And sometimes they can be far and few between. But we need to remember that that is God's business, to redeem that which was lost. And there's a lot of lostness in this area of Huntington. But it's not just Huntington. It's Fort Wayne. It's Indianapolis. It's all over the place. Key line preachers are messing up all over the place and puts a damage on the name. But it is a good time to share the gospel, because people aren't hearing it. We always call it the good news. It's almost like it's new news. And we need to be sharing it. And you have an opportunity wherever you are to begin, wherever you work, wherever the people that you see that other people don't know. God has put people and put you in people's lives that you can start becoming like Nehemiah, where your heart is broken because you hear the things that's going on in their lives. And then where you can get to that place where you begin to pray for them. Sin is rampant right now. Back in the day, people would try to hide their sin because they had a conscience. Today, just people just do it and they don't care. It's supposed to be accepted. It's supposed to be accepted because we don't want that biblical Jesus. We don't want him. Well, let me tell you, they're pushing the greatest hope and the only hope away to help them. We have a crisis with sexual identity. What? We have a crisis with racism. What? No program's going to fix any of that stuff. It's only Christ. I'm telling you, it's only Christ. What does Nehemiah do? He ends up going in. He ends up going to a place where he's going to go back and God's going to do something great. He's going to give him all the stuff that he needs to go back and rebuild the walls. He's going to have a difficult time a few places here and there. Some people's going to give him some discouragement, but he's going to build those walls. How does he build the walls? Because God is with him. But it didn't just that he just got there and started building them. It started off with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. It's very hard to find a church that fasts anymore. It's funny, when we have a tragedy in our life, how quick we are to start praying. Not saying we shouldn't, we should. But where are those people who pray for others that even get to the point where they'll fast for others? We're all thankful for the hope that we have in Christ and our salvation. But he's not done with us at salvation. I believe every church needs to be a hospital for Jesus Christ. Every single church. Can do it in different ways, but the same hope is Christ. The same healing process is Christ. It is Christ. And Christ alone. I'm going to challenge you today that you start turning up the knob, the volume of your prayer life. And that you might look over to that old switch called fasting. And you might rub a little bit of that dust off and might flip the switch a little bit. And begin to fast and pray for others, not just yourself. Maybe ask God to give you eyes to see things that you haven't been seeing. The brokenness around you. Maybe ask that God would use you as a minister into brokenness, whatever that may be. We are it. You ever walk down 2nd Street over here? Riverview? You ever walk down 1st Street? Father, I want to ask that you would just break our hearts. For those that don't know you, those that are broken, and even for those that are prodigals that are not living, that are believers but not living as they should, living a very risky life. Father, today we want to lift all of them up to you, but today, Lord, we need to lift ourselves up to you. That we would be broken as Nehemiah was broken when he heard the news of the people were in distress and were broken. And seemed to be living without hope. They lost everything. And the walls of the city were down. Lord, give us a heart like Nehemiah. That we might have a heart for this community. That we might see more come to Christ. that the church would grow not by church transfer, but by new believers. And Lord, this is the part that I cannot do anything with, but only you can touch a man or a woman's heart. And I pray, Father, you do just that. And as Nehemiah said, please, Lord, hear my prayer today. Amen.